As we embark to look at the sanctity of human life this morning, I must confess that this is a little out of my comfort zone as well. But nonetheless, we recognize this as a serious problem in our country today, that our laws reflect that we don't believe what the Bible teaches us here. That man is created in God's image and therefore deserving of the respect that we are given because of this. And so I think it's helpful to look at this. This is probably nothing that you don't already know, but I pray and hope that it maybe serves as a reminder to you of what still goes on day in and day out in our country. I hope it will encourage you this morning because probably like me as evangelicals, this is a battle, a fight that we have been fighting for many, many years now. And the temptation that at least I feel in my heart, and I'm assuming you do as well, is to simply throw up your hands and say, what can we do? There is nothing left for us to do. And to maybe not give up necessarily, but to be maybe a little more apathetic, to be discouraged, to be disheartened in all of this. And yes, I freely admit, I have been in each of those places, especially on this issue, for a while now. But bear with me, because I think there is great hope for us, for our country, for us as Christians, and those especially Christians who believe what God teaches in His Word. And I think the first thing we see here, or I want you to see anyway, is that your ideas have consequences in the world that we live. We see here, if we were to have read the entirety of Genesis chapter 1, you will see that God is outdoing himself again and again and again. There's a certain pattern in his creation that we see, especially in Genesis chapter 1, where God creates, and as the day ends, he declares his creation good. But then with the onset of the next day, God's creation increases. He adds to it. He builds. There's a crescendo that he's working up to. And that crescendo happens here where we began reading in this text on day 6 in the evening towards the end of this day. And what this shows us, what Moses is showing us here, is that God, in his creation, is saving his very best till the end. And so we see this, that God, very best, the pinnacle of his creation, in other words, is mankind. And as we read here in verse 26, you see that there. He is placed above all the other animate life that he creates. Man is given dominion over the animals, created to rule over them. This is the place of man in God's creation. It is at the very top, the very peak, the very pinnacle. The Shorter Catechism asks, how did God create man? God created man male and female after his own image in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness with dominion over the creatures. It's interesting to me today. I read an article a few weeks ago about how Purina has essentially saved one large publicly traded food stock, because of their line of Blue Buffalo dog food that has increased their sales this past year upwards of 8%, which was a huge spike, not expected. And if you've ever seen, maybe you feed your own pets Blue Buffalo dog food. I feed my cat whatever's on sale. It's probably the way most of you think it should go with cats, and maybe you're right. We won't get into that here, but I have noticed that both the Blue Buffalo cat food and the dog food is quite expensive, quite a lot more expensive, actually, than the stuff that I buy my pets. And what this tends to show me is that we are spending more and more money on our pets, giving them, seeking to give them a much higher quality of life. I know someone that has acupuncture regularly done to their dog. Medical treatments, money spent, it goes on and on. We are giving our pets so many rights in this country, increasing the quality of their lives more and more. And yet we don't apply the same knowledge, the same rationality to our own children. And as the Shorter Catechism then looks at this as well, it's saying that we're not just greater than dogs and cats. We are, as human beings, we definitely are that. But it goes on to tell us the reason for that. Knowledge, righteousness, holiness are created in us. What this is saying, in other words, is that God has set us apart by giving us souls. The Children's Catechism speaks to that, and that God gives us a soul that can never die. There's something permanent to human beings. There's something lasting. There's something within each one of us that never dies. Think about that for a moment as you ponder the uniqueness of human life. God has not only saved his best creation for last, but he has endowed us with certain brilliant and marvelous things that set us apart. But then we look at the world that we live in. They don't at all see human beings the same way. As we ponder how we got here with abortion on demand laws in this country, you probably go back even further than the 1960s, but I think it certainly starts there with the sexual revolution, as they call it, in the 1960s. Didn't do a whole lot of in-depth research on the sexual revolution of the 60s. I know some of you would remember it well, but here's what just simply Wikipedia says about it, because I found this somewhat stunning. Admittance here from the likes of Wikipedia. It says the sexual revolution of the 60s was the normalization of contraception and the pill, public nudity, pornography, premarital sex, homosexuality, alternative forms of sexuality, and the legalization of abortion all followed. You see, how did we get to that point? It didn't just start in the 60s. It was this gradual transformation of our thinking about human beings. Maybe they're not as great as we originally thought. And sure, you look at world events like the two great world wars that claimed millions of lives. And you start to despair of the society in which we live. And the value that we place on human lives. It all leads into this great change in our thinking that ultimately came about in the 1960s. And then historically, in this country, it wasn't really until the 1970s. In 1970, in fact, June of 1970, that we saw the state of New York amend their abortion bill, which for almost 100 years had made abortion a criminal offense punishable by law. They repealed this ban on abortion. And something like between 400 and 600,000 babies were aborted in New York City alone in this six-month period. So much so, in fact, actually, that later on, 6 months later in 1971, early 1971, the bill was repealed and abortion was made illegal again. And what seemed to then be happening was almost this cultural shift again back in that direction as other states started to try and limit abortions. That in the early weeks of January 1973, Roe versus Wade was ultimately passed in this country. And from my understanding, what the law makers or people asking for these laws were looking for was just a greater allowance of early term abortions. What they were given was far more than they ever dreamt they would ever receive. They asked for an inch and were given an entire mile as abortion on demand with very few limits whatsoever were given in this country. And we have not looked back since then. And as we search for causes for this, we have hopefully identified a few of them. I look down at this passage, and I see again, let us make man in our image. If you know the story of creation as it is given a fuller handling in Genesis chapter 2, you know that God chose to create mankind, the male first, and then from the man bring the female from them. And I think this is significant. I think this is bears mentioning here as we talk about this subject matter. Because I think I can come up with a solution to abortion in this country that is very, very easy. And that is quite simply this, that we as men would learn and start treating women the way that God calls us to respect and to treat them. That means how we conduct our own selves. That we would start to see things like sex outside of marriage as one of the greatest offenses that you can create and you can cause and that you can do to a woman. That is the height of disrespect, in other words. And that as we learn to treat women with respect, other things would also start to ease and abate. There's no doubt about it that the pornography industry, multi-billion dollar industry, forwarded largely by America and American men, is fueled by that. Men, think about that for just a moment. If we viewed women not as objects to be controlled and desired and to be conquered, but rather as created in the image and likeness of God, worthy of the utmost respect, especially from us men. Brothers, if this is a sin that you are struggling with, and I know there are some out there that are wrestling with this day in and day out, I would make this personal appeal to you. Come talk to me about it. Come address this issue with ruling elders in this church. It is not the be-all, end-all of sins. There are solutions. There are ways out. But you have to ask for help. That's step one in dealing with pornography in your life. But that's just part of the problem. The larger problem here is how we have given in to sin, especially men, and learn to treat women as objects. This is not how God tells us how we are to live our lives. And so that leads us then to what I think are some ways to start changing our thinking. So we look at love as an action and also an emotion. I think there's a couple of things that we need to get right in our own hearts, because that's where I believe this issue is starting to change and needs to change. It's not so much in making some landmark public movement, but rather, I believe that the change starts with each one of us. That if you want to see abortion repealed in this country, it's a call to the individual to change first, before you start to see other things, larger things in our society change. So first of all, as Christians, I think we need to learn in our own personal lives to choose wisely the hills that you die on. That not everything is the same, that we are not to treat everything the same, the ills of society, the problems in our lives, the problems in our church. We are taught in the scriptures to prioritize these things. And yes, brothers and sisters, abortion is a hill worth dying on. It leads to the second point then. And that is that abortion in this country is an incredibly complex issue. You may not think that in the church, but it is. And I want to implore you this morning to really think through this issue, to think about the different facets of it, to be well researched in your understanding and especially in your arguments about abortion. Don't simply reduce your viewpoints on this issue to a bumper sticker or to a GIF or to some sleazy little Facebook post that you put up and seek to get likes about. It's much more important than that. And you are much better than that, Christian. Realize the complexity of this issue in particular and do your homework on it. The third thing that will help you and your love shine forth into this world is to know when not to speak. So I've labeled this point, love is an action and an emotion. You need to understand how emotions quickly lead us in wrong directions. We must learn to have a hold of our emotions, not let them get the better of us. Because I look around again at the world we live in today, and emotions do rule the day today. So be careful who and when and especially where you speak your mind, especially on this issue. It must be done tastefully. It must be done well. It must especially, above all, be done with love. Not to offend. Not to destroy somebody that doesn't think exactly the same way that you do on this issue. And to keep in mind the pain that abortion brings in its wake. That there are people all around you now that have been affected by abortion in one way or another. The scars that leaves, the trauma that brings, the lasting effects that has on those that you are arguing with, maybe. Take that to heart. Know when to speak, but certainly know when not to speak. And then thirdly, fourthly, and finally on this point, know that Jesus Christ's actions on the cross paid for all sin. Not just some. Not just the sins that we want it to appeal to or not to appeal to, but all sin. Jesus died for abortion. Jesus died to forgive those who have found themselves in a position to be having children's lives terminated. Jesus forgives all of that. And Jesus forgives you of all your sin as well. That there is no other way. There is no other place for forgiveness to be found but through Jesus Christ. So remember that as you work on yourself. So where do we go from here? I mean, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And that's where I really start to struggle, because I'm not exactly sure what to tell you, where to try and lead you. But here are, I think, some thoughts at least for you to consider as we try and work toward an action plan to put our love into action when it comes to abortion on demand in this country. First and foremost, realize that you can't change it, that only God can change these things. Look to Him in prayer especially. Don't ever give up praying that this will end in our country. You wait and you pray. And you work on your own heart as you wait for God to answer those prayers. There's a well-known quote from Margaret Thatcher that I have often quoted to myself and to others. She once upon a time said, "Watch your thoughts, for they will become actions. Watch your actions, for they'll become habits. Watch your habits, for they will forge your character. Watch your character, for it will make your destiny." Pray, and as you pray, your thoughts are transformed. This is one of the main ways that God transforms our lives and our hearts, is through prayer. It's one of His chief means of grace in our lives. Don't ever forsake the grace of prayer. Continue to pray that God will change your own heart as well. Keep it warm to this issue in particular. Other things we can do is to vote. This is as political as I'll get from the pulpit. Vote a candidate's abortion record. That's all I'll say on that. In this heavy information age that we live in, doesn't take long to look up and to see where these candidates stand on abortion. From what I can tell, this is one of the most tangible things that you can do to help, is to vote for those who have vowed to uphold the rights of the unborn in this country. Another thing toward an action plan is to look locally. I know we've got these kind of goofy-looking baby bottles out there, but I would encourage you, each family, to take one. And not just to put money in there, although that helps and that's helpful, but actually to open them up and to read the paper that's in there. And it gives you the names of little children that have been saved through the efforts of the Women's Center here in our local area. And to pray prayers of thanksgiving to God for little Harper, whose life was saved largely through the efforts of people caring enough to support organizations like the Women's Center. Look locally as you seek to interact and to work towards the end of abortion in our country. And then finally, brothers and sisters, know the power of Jesus Christ in your own life. Know that it's He that forgives you of all of your sins. And know the power that has to transform our hearts and our lives. And as you start to be transformed, and it will happen, start to proclaim that forgiveness to all of those that you come in contact with as you start to live out this forgiveness of sins that you have in Jesus Christ. Because as I've said already, I'll say again, I'll say to the day I die, forgiveness of sin can come from nowhere else but through the spilled blood of Jesus Christ. He did that for you. He did that so that you would be forgiven of all your sins. Continue to look to Him. Trust in Him. Give your life to Him if you haven't already. and know the forgiveness that he offers you through his finished work. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this tremendous gift, a righteousness that we do not earn, that we do not deserve. Yet because of what your Son has done, it is ours. We are forgiven. And we will one day see our glorious Savior face to face. But until that day dawns, Father, continue to transform our lives as we seek forgiveness from you more and more and seek to forgive others. Yes, Lord, we pray for those unborn children in our land today. Keep them safe. Protect them. And Father, be near to their mothers and fathers. And where there are those who have been involved and touched by abortion, we pray that they would know the forgiveness that comes only through Jesus Christ and his work. Father, surround us with your love this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name.